This afternoon, we want to continue our study through as we look at David's passing and the and his son Solomon coming to the throne. And today we're in 1 Kings chapter 2, and we want to begin at 13 get through probably the end of the chapter this afternoon. First Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." Now, I just want to pause and give you background for those who may not have been here Wednesday night. Solomon was given instructions by David before David was called home to be with the Lord. And then Solomon took the throne. Part of these instructions dealt with those who had dealt wrongly with David during his life. And those that really Solomon could not trust. And so David gave Solomon advice concerning these men, telling them to look out for them, and also for those that had helped David, that Solomon would honor David's word and continue to allow and bless them. Now, David had allowed some of these men to live during his lifetime, but he also knew their hearts. And he was really warning Solomon and telling him what to do to be out, to look out for these men. And that's who we're going to be looking at this afternoon are some of the men that David warned Solomon about and what Solomon is going to deal with them. Now, Solomon has given some of these people his word that he would not harm them if they did not show treasonous actions towards him or did wrong things. And Solomon honors his word. And we're going to see that it's not Solomon that breaks his word, but it's these men that break their vows and their loyalty, not only to Solomon, but to God. And so we're going to be starting with looking at Adonijah, who is Solomon's half-brother. Adonijah was the full brother of Absalom. Remember Absalom, that was the one that rose up in rebellion against David and was defeated, and he was killed by Joab. And Adonijah is Absalom's brother, and Adonijah also rose up in rebellion against his father, because Adonijah knew that Solomon had been the one that the Lord had called to be the king after David, the one that David said would be the king after David. Yet Adonijah tried to arrange and orchestrate the events. If you remember the account, he held a giant party and sacrifice, if you would, invited all of Israel to come and attend, had the acting high priest Adonijah, the high priest at that time, who was a descendant of Eli, to come and partake and lead the sacrificial services. And this man had been in agreement with Adonijah. He also had Joab come, and Joab was in agreement that Adonijah should be the king. And Joab was Adonijah's cousin. He was also Solomon's cousin. And so we see all of this intrigue going on, and in the meantime, those that were loyal to David and loyal to the Lord came to David and instructed him of what was happening, and David anointed Solomon king, or had him anointed king. David didn't do it, but Nathan and Jedidiah did it, and they were the ones that anointed Solomon king. And then David had him sit on his throne. So that brings us to this. Solomon has been anointed king. He is sitting on the throne of Israel. And now Adonijah comes to Bathsheba, David's mother. And that's the setting of this verse. So Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably." He said, "Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about, and is become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. I want to pause there and see. Adonijah says the kingdom was mine. No, it wasn't. The kingdom was God's. But he says the kingdom was mine, and I had everything in place. I had all of Israel following me, except I had one small problem. The kingdom was the Lord's, and he gave it to my brother Solomon. And so Solomon has now possessed the kingdom. So Adonijah tells this to Bathsheba. Well, Bathsheba would have known all of this because she had been part of the conversation that had happened when her son was anointed to be the king. So she would have known this. But Bathsheba still does not understand that Adonijah has wicked intents, and she doesn't get what he's up to. Because he did tell her, I come peaceably. And she believed him. But he doesn't come peaceably. He comes with evil intent to destroy Solomon and his kingdom. So he goes on and he says, and now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay. In other words, he won't say no to his mother. That he give me Abishag, the Shunammite, to wife. Now, who is Abishag? Abishag was the young virgin girl, woman, that was brought in to David to try and give him warmth as he was dying. And so, in essence, she had become his wife or concubine by that action, even though they had no sexual relationships to consummate the relationship. The mere action of her taking that position made her his wife. So she had been David's wife or concubine, and now Adonijah is asking Bathsheba to go to Solomon and have her given to him in marriage. And we don't understand the culture, but this is serious. This is very serious because she belonged to David in the sense she was his wife. And now she's to be given to Solomon's brother according to his brother. And Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. And Bathsheba therefore went unto the king Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her, and bowed himself unto her, and sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. I just want to pause here. This shows the respect that Solomon had for Bathsheba, his mother. He placed her in a position of honor at his right hand, and it was a position of authority at his right hand. And he also gathered a seat for her to sit. She didn't have to stand or kneel in his presence, but she could be seated and put at rest in his presence. It showed the level of respect and honor he had for his mother. He honored his mother. And we're going to see that he also is very honoring of what she has to say. Go on, and it says, and then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. In other words, please don't say no to me. I'm just going to ask you one small thing. This is not a small thing. She doesn't understand that it's not a small thing. We'll continue on and see what happens. And the king said to her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. I won't say no to thee. And she said, let Abishag, the Shunammite, be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to wife. And the king Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is mine older brother, even for him and for Abathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zariah. Now, David had warned Solomon about these three. He warned them about Adonijah, he warned them about Abathar, and he warned them about Joab. Why? These were the three that conspired against David to make Adonijah king, without David's permission, nor consulting the Lord. And even though Joab, at one time, had been the chief captain of David's army, he had more than one occasion had violated David's commands. He had not been loyal to David. And remember, when David was listed, when all the mighty men of David were listed, Joab's brother was listed, but Joab was not listed because he was a vile man with a horrible temper, and he was a murderer, and he was also a treasonous man. And so he was not worthy of being called one of David's mighty men. Now he is at the heart of this conspiracy to try and still usurp the throne from Solomon. Now, what Solomon does is he understands exactly what his brother is up to. His brother is older than him. I want you to understand the way that things were passed down, typically, was it went to the eldest brother first. Then the other brothers were dealt with. And so, in essence, Absalom should have had the throne, but God didn't want Absalom to have the throne. And then Adonijah, Absalom's brother, is still older than Solomon. He's got rights to the throne according to men's perspective, but not according to God's. Now, if he obtained David's last wife as his wife, the people would look upon it as that David had accepted Adonijah as being the king by giving to him his wife. And that's what Solomon sees, that this is a plot to take the kingdom from him by placing David's wife in Adonijah's arms as his wife. And so his mother hasn't seen that, and so he tells her, why don't you just ask that I give the kingdom over to my brother Adonijah? He is the elder, he is trying to usurp the kingdom that the Lord has given to me. And so he tells this to his mother. And he tells her who are the conspirators with him. Abathar and Joab. And then the King Solomon swear how the Lord saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now, what is he saying there? Remember when Adonijah came to Solomon after Solomon had been anointed king? He came and he begged Solomon show him mercy. And he bowed before him and he said, I will be your loyal servant and, I will not do anything to harm you, to do anything against you. And Solomon said, as long as this is your vow and your word, you'll live. But the minute it's not, you will die. Why? Because he understood Adonijah had a spirit of treason against his father, and he undoubtedly had that same spirit of treason against Solomon. And so as long as he would be loyal to Israel and loyal to the king and loyal to the Lord, he would be able to live. But the minute he showed treason towards Solomon, he would be put to death. And Adonijah agreed to this. Okay? He said, no, that's fine with me. Well, now he fully intended to usurp the throne, even at that time, and had made his plans. And now Solomon says he had vowed, but now this vow doesn't mean anything anymore, and now judgment will come. And so what happens, he says, now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me, and set me on the throne of David, my father. He acknowledges that God is the one who did that, not David, and who hath made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. Okay, so there's consequences to Adonijah's rebellion and treason. And the king Solomon sent by the hand of Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him and he died. And so Benaniah, is the executioner that Solomon sends out, and later on Benaniah is going to be given a position of honor in Solomon's reign. And unto Abiathar, the priest, said the king, get thee to Anathoth unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death, but I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. And so he says, because you were loyal to my father at the beginning of his reign, and because you were a part of doing what my father desired, I'm not going to put you to death, and for my father's sake. Although you are worthy of death because you were part of this treasonous conspiracy against me on two occasions. The first one where you actively tried to set up the kingdom, and now the other one where you're trying to steal the kingdom. And he says, but you're going to lose your position of priesthood. Now, there's a comment made here in the next verse, and we have to go back to when we were studying in 1 Samuel about Eli. And so Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that it might be fulfilled the word of the Lord which spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. And remember, when Eli was the high priest in Shiloh, he was really the high priest illegitimately because he wasn't of the right line of Aaron to be the high priest, but he had taken that position, and when he did not rein in his own children and did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord by doing those things, God judged him and said that his line would no longer, there would come an end of his line where they would not be part of the priesthood to lead worship in the temple. And this is what's happening right now, as Solomon removes Abiathar, who evidently is the last one in the line of Eli, and says, you're going to be removed from being a priest. You're going to be going back to your land, and I won't put you to death, but you're going to be losing your position and your authority. And God had foretold that at the curse of Eli. And then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Now, the third conspirator, Joab. Joab, that people go and tell him, Adonijah just got removed from the kingdom, removed from the priesthood. Adonijah's dead. Abiathar got removed from the priesthood and expelled from Jerusalem. They're coming after you next. And Joab realizes there is no hope. And so he goes and grabs the horns of the altar, seeking mercy. But there really isn't mercy here because his attitude hasn't changed. He doesn't cry out to the Lord for mercy. He doesn't cry out confessing his sin, but rather he goes and hangs onto the horns of the altar, praying that Solomon will not kill him there. And so let's see what's going to transpire. Then tidings came to Joab, and Joab had turned after Adonijah. Verse 29, we pick it up, and it says, and it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go fall upon him. And Benaniah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, thus saith the king, come forth. And he said, nay, but I will die here. And Benaniah brought the king word again, saying, thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. In other words, Benaniah did not want to kill him while he was hanging onto the altar, but told him to come forth, that you may face the consequences of your rebellion and your treason. And Joab says, no, come and kill me here. And so he goes to Solomon and says, what should I do? Should I kill him there? Should I let him hang on to the horn? What should I do? And the king said unto him, do as he hath said. Joab said, kill me here. So Solomon says, do as he says. And fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. Now, it's not just the innocent blood during Solomon's reign, because he really hadn't taken any innocent blood yet, although he was trying to, because if Adonijah would have become king, I can guarantee you Solomon would have died. But the thing is, Joab had a history of doing that, which was murderous and treasonous acts, going against the will of David and causing people to be murdered, not in an act of war, but in an act of planning out their death and cold murder. And the Lord shall turn his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, after my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. And Joab killed these men because he felt threatened by these men, and not because David ordered him to. And it's really interesting because Amasa was his cousin. And we see the intrigue of all these family relationships. And Joab didn't honor family. Just like Adonijah and Absalom didn't honor family. It meant nothing to them. They were power-driven and desired position, power, and authority, even at the expense of murdering those who were not to be murdered. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever, but upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. Why? Because David had known nothing about Amasa's murder, nor had he known anything about Abner. He did not tell them to do it. And as a matter of fact, when Joab killed Absalom, David had told him not to kill him, yet he did. So he violated David's direct command and then didn't let David know what else he was doing. So Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. And the king put Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room over the host. And Zadok, the priest, did the king put in the room of Abiathar. And so we see that Benaniah took the place of Joab. Joab had held this position under David. Now Benaniah holds a position under Solomon. And we see that Zadok takes over the priesthood that had originally been held by Abiathar. And the king sent and called for Shimei. Now this is another one that David had told his son, remember Shimei and what he has done to me. And remember, David said, when Shimei came, he came pleading for mercy. I extended him mercy and didn't kill him for his acts when he was really cursing David. And he didn't judge him for those acts, but extended mercy. But he says, remember Shimei. Why? Shimei is not worthy of trust. He's not worthy, and he would rise up against you just as he attempted to rise up against me. And so we see all of these men that Solomon is dealing with now had one thing in common. They had a treasonous background, and they really hadn't changed their attitudes. Shimei hadn't changed his attitude because he just wanted to live. He didn't really ask forgiveness because I'm repenting of my behavior, but I want to live is really why he came and asked David's mercy. And it shall be that on the day, and the king sent and called out for Shimei and said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. In other words, come and live in Jerusalem. And this is one thing that Solomon would be able to keep an eye on Shimei, because he would be in the same city where Solomon was. And he says, and you are not allowed to leave Jerusalem. For it shall be that on the day that thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, and Kidron is the brook that's on the east edge of Jerusalem, and it separates Jerusalem on the Mount Zion from the Mount of Olives, and to pass over the brook Kidron, you'd be leaving Jerusalem, and you'd be going out into the other mountains, and you could go other directions. And thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. This is a choice that you can make, Shimei. You can live in peace in Jerusalem as long as you never leave Jerusalem. And everything you need will be here. Everything he needed was there. He had a place to live. He had servants. He had all of this. And Solomon said, and peace will be upon your head, but the minute you leave, your blood will be upon your own head. And Shimei said unto the king, now I want you to see Solomon lays out the terms to both of these men, and both of them agree to the terms. It's not like they say, oh, this is impossible. How do you expect me to do this? No, this is righteous of you to do this. So they go on, and he says, the saying is good. And as my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass, at the end of 3 years, that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, king of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Gath would be over towards the western border, towards the Mediterranean Sea. So Shimei would definitely have to leave. He would have to go out of Jerusalem to get there. And what does he do? And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath to Achish to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. Now people will say, well, he had every right to do that. No, he didn't, because he'd given his word he'd never leave Jerusalem. He should have sent another servant. He should have sent someone with a message to the king of Achish. There was a number of ways he could have done this. He did not have to go himself, but he willfully chose to violate his oath to Solomon. And when he did that, Solomon saw him as not being trustworthy and really being one who would not follow his word. And really, his father David was correct in saying you need to look at Shimei and deal with him. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make with thee to swear by the Lord? And I want you to see that the scriptures tell us that we shouldn't swear. Our yes should be yes and our no, no, but we shouldn't swear by anything. But if we do swear by the Lord, we need to keep our word. It's not something to be taken lightly. Yet he had sworn by the Lord that he wouldn't do this. He sworn by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain, on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad, any whither, that thou shalt surely die. And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. In other words, I'm in agreement with this. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? Why did you do this? And the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. Now, would it have been better for Shimei to have lost two servants than his life? You know, the answer is pretty evident. Yes, it would have been better for him to lose two servants than his life. But he didn't really believe that Solomon would be one to hold to his word, because Shimei never held to his word. And now Solomon says, you made this oath, and you made it by the Lord, and you said it's happening. You didn't adhere and honor my father, and now it's going to return upon your head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. Because Shimei had cursed David and said that he should not have the throne. And he cursed David and said that Saul was worthy of the throne. And he cursed David, all these things as Saul was fleeing from Absalom, and said that Absalom was the righteous one, not David. And so we see that all these things had come against, and really it was against God's plan. God's plan was for the line of David to be that which would bring about the Messiah. Had Solomon not taken the throne, again, that would have been a way for the line to begin to be interrupted and God's promises not fulfilled. And so Shimei, like others in the history of Israel, attempted to violate God's promise that he had given to David and to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Now, why did it say the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon? Because the treasonous element that was living in the royal palace was now gone. He had destroyed the influence of Adonijah, Abathar, Joab, and Shimei, and they had really brought it upon themselves. It wasn't Solomon only fulfilled the vows that they made, that if we continue in rebellion against you, if we leave the city, if we do these things, we will be killed. And they said it's good, and then they thought somehow it wouldn't happen. God's word is true. God tells us to believe what he says is true, and his judgment will fall if we don't repent. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with us. Help us to understand what happened in these men not adhering to the vows they made and trying to rise up in treason against the man you had established as the king of Israel. Lord, now I pray that you just help us to learn from this lesson, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 586.